Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. This is Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio, news-related subjects in light of the Bible. And now, here's your commentator, Ray Brubaker.
Thank you, and again we send greetings to our friends everywhere. Norman MacFarlane, writing in Christianity Today, asks, "What has gone wrong with marriage?" This year, approximately 1,800,000 marriages will occur in the United States. And yet, one out of every four new marriages ends in divorce. Among teenagers, the rate is three times as high. Each year, 750,000 children have their homes torn apart by divorce. What's wrong? Well, to find the answer to their marital problems, over 1 million Americans are paying for marriage counseling. Well, the Bible presents secrets for a successful marriage, some of which we would share with you today in view of statistics just related. I don't know of a message more practical, more purposeful than this subject of marriage. Just a few days ago, I received a letter from a listener saying, "Please send me any copies of messages you may have that may help save the following marriages." Then there were listed several names and addresses of young people contemplating divorce. Well, beloved, divorce is not the answer. Allow Christ to come into the heart and life, and His love will overcome the hindrances, the obstacles to a successful marriage. I'm not here to say that all Christians that marry will succeed in their marriage, but I am bold in declaring they can succeed. Marriage can be successful, beautiful, more wonderful as the years go by. If you don't believe me, listen to today's message at least. Well, concerning marriage, we can't stress enough the importance of seeking the Lord's guidance. The Bible says, "In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." Dr. Dan Poling once made this statement, "Nothing in the world is more important than marriage and finding a mate." That's why we must seek the Lord's guidance, not be led simply by our emotions. If it is God's intention for us to be married, surely He has a mate picked out for us. And if we pray for wisdom, seeking His will, waiting with patience, that person will come along. Then at the proper time when the Lord reveals His will, we should persevere until the marriage is consummated. Well, then marriage must be based on love and not lust. I believe many marriages fail because they were motivated largely by the animal instinct. Sex appeal is not a proper motive for marriage. It's not to be construed that sex is wrong, but that it is sacred. A means of communication between husband and wife, whose motivations in life are Christ-centered. Marriage was intended by God to bring man the greatest happiness this side of heaven, apart from his salvation. The proverbial writer was right when he wrote, "Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord." However, when lust and not love motivates the marriage relationship, you'll find couples in each other's arm 1 minute and at each other's throat the next. What appeared to be love at first sight turns out to be divorce at first fight. As MacFarlane observes, love is the basic ingredient. Yet so many unfortunate couples suffer through a loveless marriage because no one ever told them what love is. Their life together is one of frustration rather than fulfillment, because their philosophy of love is based on the idealism of a Hollywood musical, the perversion of a character in Tennessee Williams, the escapades of an Elizabeth Taylor, or the sob stories of True Romance magazine. He continues, "One of the tragedies of American life is that love is being defined for us by those who have never experienced it. We are hearing about marriage from those whose own marriage, one or two, have failed. The cruel hoax undermining our society is the notion that love is only physical." Well, two Ohio sociologists list five types of marriages in which the last type is the most successful, because two become one in a total blending of life's goals and aspirations. First, there is what these sociologists call the resigned squabbling marriage, in which the couple maintains a sort of armed truce in public and yet constantly snipe at one another in private. What about your marriage? Second, there is the devitalized marriage in which both partners live together but as strangers. Third is the substitute marriage, where though married to each other, love for sports or politics or religion or something else supersedes love for each other. Then fourth, there is the vital marriage, where two unite in one common goal, whether it is a career or the raising of children. And fifth, there is what these sociologists call total marriage, in which the sharing is so complete, so intense, it is as though neither had a truly private existence. Well, needless to say, God's design in two becoming one involves this kind of total marriage. Well, you've heard it said, the family that prays together stays together. In all of my pastoral contacts in the ministry, I've yet to be called upon for counseling in marital problems relating to husband and wife relationships where there was the family altar. Catherine Marshall said this was the secret of their marriage, to be able to pray together and thus intimately share in each other's problems. She writes, "Peter and I found that our differences could never become serious or bitter so long as we could pray together. And so thoroughly did we learn this lesson that it was one of the chief bits of advice Peter always gave to couples who were becoming bankrupt." Well, the Bible says, "Be not equally yoked together with unbelievers." Would you believe it that in 95% of all divorce cases, either one or both partners did not attend church regularly, indicating the need of spiritual oneness if marriage is to be successful? "Differences in religious attitudes are fundamental differences," writes Dr. David Mason, Woman's Home Companion. He goes on to stress, "Spiritual unity in marriage is so important that these differences can cause much heartache and conflict. As the prophet reminds us, can two walk together except they be agreed?" In the famous church in the Wildwood, a brief ceremony has been added to the wedding ritual. As the newlyweds left the sanctuary, the pastor would stop them in the vestibule, tell the bride that it was the tradition for her to ring the church bell. Invariably, the bride would pull the bell rope and find herself unable to swing the heavy bell. The pastor then would motion to the bridegroom to come and help her. As the bell rang, the clergyman would say, "Remember, you find married life much like the bell rope. It's easier when you pull together." Yes, it's easier to pull than to part, leaving unhappy memories to harness the rest of our lives. And then God's judgment to befall us for disobeying His command to love one another. Well, actually, the Bible formula for marriage is expressed very simply. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. If a husband loves his wife, he'll not ask of her anything, but she'll be willingly and gladly desirous of doing it. And if a wife is submissive and helpful, it will make for a happy and lasting relationship. A mother who found herself taking her husband for granted began a desperate fight to rescue their marriage, which seemed headed for the rocks, by doing extra favors, surprising him with favorite dishes, complimenting him for little things that he had done. She won for herself a new devotion. Not only did her husband become a better father to the children, but more loving and kind to her. "I feel like I've been reborn," she told her marriage counselor. Well, marriage is for better or for worse, till death do us part. Dr. Alfred Kinsey, notorious for his reports on sexual behavior, nevertheless makes this striking observation, he notes. "A preliminary examination of 6,000 marital histories, nearly 3,000 divorce histories, suggests that there may be nothing more important in a marriage than a determination that it shall persist. That is, a determination that it shall last. Well, God has ordained that marriage be an indissoluble, lifelong partnership." The scriptures solemnly enjoin husbands and wives to leave home and establish their own home. We're told from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife." Well, Dr. Clifford Kirkpatrick, noted sociologist, points out the necessity of sharing together in the family relationship, which necessitates intimate contacts that can be shared jointly with each other. He notes, The relationship between a modern married couple involves total personality contact, not only in regard to the home and children, but likewise in regard to literature, politics, philosophy of life, and many other things. The sharing and togetherness is possible only as each of the married partners leave home to establish their own home. Whether love exists in the home will make all the difference whether it becomes a heaven on earth or just the opposite. As Catherine Marshall observed, some marriages are still made in heaven, but they are all worked out on earth, and heaven comes to earth only if we work for it. And since love is the binding force in marriage, we do well to review the attributes of love as described in 1 Corinthians 13, where we read, "Love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy, love does not boast, it is not vain. Love does not look down upon others, it is never rude. It does not insist upon having its own will. It does not get angry at little things. It does not nurse hurt feelings. Love stands true through every trouble, believing the best always, always hoping for the best, is always patient." This is the Laubach translation. Well, in conclusion, McFarland sums up for us what very well may be the reason for much of the difficulty when it comes to marriage. He says, "The trouble began when we stopped listening to Solomon and St. Paul and began listening to Sigmund Freud. When we stopped listening to God and began listening to unregenerate man. That was when we began confusing love with lust, and when marriage started leading to the gates of hell instead of to the door of heaven. Be ye therefore ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh."
Will ye be ready to go when the morning sun comes riding down, his eyes are blazed with many crowns? Will ye be ready to go?
Thank you for listening to Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. For a free audio of this message, visit raybrubaker.com on the internet. May God richly bless you is our prayer.